Hello, and welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Jason Roberts, who is Managing Director at FreightView. And today we're going to talk about TMS innovations for small and mid-sized shippers. One of my predictions for this year, 2015, was that there was going to be greater focus on small and mid-sized businesses from 3PLs, software vendors, and others. Because this is really, a segment of the market that arguably is ripe for process improvements, for technology improvements, and moving them up the supply chain maturity curve, if you will. But traditionally it's been a difficult segment of the market to really address for a variety of different reasons. And that's really the core of today's conversation. We're going to talk to Jason a little bit about, what defines the SMB market. What are some of their unique, challenges and opportunities that they have? And then more specifically on the technology side, how TMS solutions have evolved to better serve and meet the requirements of this market. So very excited to have Jason on board, to talk about this. For those of you that are joining us live today, I just want to remind you that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So as we're having our conversation here, if you've got a question for Jason, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature. And I'll keep an eye on that. And if there's any good and appropriate questions and we have time, I'll certainly weave it into the conversation. If you are joining us as a visitor, just a reminder that you will have to sign in first in order to be able to ask a question. So with that, Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, Jason, before we kind of dive into the topic, as is always the case when I have a new guest on the program, first-time guest on the program, I always like to understand how they got into this industry to begin with. So, so before we dive into the SMB market and TMS, so on and so forth, why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved in supply chain and logistics, and what your current role and responsibilities are there at FreightView?
Sure. So for me, getting into logistics was a decision made over $2. I was getting a degree in information systems and I applied for some internships and I got two offers, and Yellow Freight offered me $2 more than the next competitor. And so I took it. And I'd been to their campus before and saw their giant mainframes and tape silos back in the day, and that got me excited. So I took that role and I was an intern helping support their Salesforce automation system, just taking care of sales reps out in the field. So that's where I found out about freight terminology and what it's like to move things around the country. And when I graduated, I stayed with Yellow, but as a programmer working on some of their very first web applications. So we were moving from having websites that were brochures to websites that could do things, schedule pickups and apply for credit. And so I got to be part of that. And I got tapped to be part of a team to go start an online logistics company that we called Transportation.com, and it's still around under a different name and successful. And while there, I was involved in project management and software development management and product management, and really had my first experience building TMSs and interacting with people who are using TMSs and the kinds of companies that use them. And after a few years of that, I got a call one day from somebody and went and met with Tim Barton, who was the founder of a company called Freightquote, based in Kansas City. Really entrepreneurial startup that was really breaking new ground in the LTL freight brokerage space. And I ended up moving over and working with him. And for about a decade, I was, I guess, his sidekick in experimenting with new technology projects. So we did a lot of fun projects. A lot that didn't succeed, but it was fun to try, and we learned a lot from them, and some that really did succeed. And along that time, especially towards the end of it, we had been talking about building a TMS for small and medium-sized companies. Freightquote traditionally serves smaller companies, and we saw the need for it out there, and we had talked about how it could be different. And so it's kind of in the fall of 2013, so almost 2 years ago now, we decided to really go for it. We started assembling a team and designing our product. And we decided to spin it off as a completely separate company. So we spun out as a separate company with me as the managing director and a separate team, a separate building, and so on. When C.H. Robinson was going through the process of purchasing Freightquote in last year, They learned about FreightView. They got really excited about it, spent some time with us, and worked out a deal to purchase FreightView. So that's how we became part of C.H. Robinson and C.H. Robinson's Managed Services Division. And I'm the managing director there.
Yeah, great career path there, and great beginning there. You know, the fact that all those dots really got connected and got started with a $2 difference in when you came out of college there with that first opportunity. So obviously, you know, you've had some time in the industry, particularly on the technology side, and have experience working with small and mid-sized shippers. So let's start there first, right? Because what I find is that term, you know, small and mid-sized companies, small and mid-sized shippers, it means different things to different people, and people define it in different ways in terms of what is a small shipper, what is a mid-sized shipper. From your perspective, you know, what are the attributes that define a small and mid-sized shipper?
So for me, when I'm talking about a small shipper, I'm usually referring to someone who's shipping between 5 and 25 freight shipments a day on average. And so, you know, if you're only shipping one or two shipments a day, you're really more of a micro shipper. You can probably take care of all of your freight planning for the day before your first cup of coffee gets cold. And it's questionable whether you need much technology to help you out. Really, when you get up into that space of about 5 shipments a day, that's when it starts to be a burden on your day, up to about 25. I think as you get up around 25 shipments a day, then you're moving more into the mid-size space. And from there on up into potentially millions of dollars of freight spend is a wide range of mid-range shippers. What we found, though, is that a lot of those mid-range shippers, maybe half of them, are built from small shippers. So they've grown through acquisitions, or they've grown by expanding to branch offices or opening new warehouses. And so even though they have a lot more volume than that 25 a day, it's still individual locations or business units doing 5 to 25 shipments a day. So they, while some of those companies in that mid-size range look like bigger companies, a lot of them still look like those smaller companies. I'd say that these types of shippers in the small range, our averages that we've seen are 6 asset-based carriers and 1 3PL. That's kind of typical for a network for one of these small shippers. Can range a lot higher, more carriers, but that's kind of the typical profile. And they're typically using really inefficient manual processes to manage their freight. They're going to the carrier websites to run their quotes and broker websites. They're scheduling their pickups through phone calls. If they're keeping track of their freight spend and their decisions, they're keeping it in spreadsheets. And so really their visibility is spread all over the place, and they don't have any facts about how they're spending their money and how they're using their carrier network.
Yeah, no, I concur with kind of your observation there, and which leads me to my next question. You know, so how are the transportation operations and the needs of small and mid-sized shippers, as you define them, different than, say, you know, their larger counterparts, right? I mean, I know us as analysts, you know, we always like to talk about, you know, what the really big companies out there are doing, right? The P&Gs and the Walmarts and so on and so forth. But are there similarities between the transportation operations and needs of, you know, these smaller players as you describe them? And then what are their kind of some of the key differences?
Sure. I mean, at the core, there are similarities just around they want to pick the best carrier with the right balance of transit time every time and things to flow smoothly. Some of our observations in spending time with these small shippers, one of them is that they tend to be more single-moded. So in experience with bigger shippers, you would expect a good mix of truckload and LTL, at least 80-20 or maybe 50-50. And that's what I expected when we started down this path to build a TMS for smaller shippers. And we really found that these shippers are almost exclusively one mode or the other. They're almost always shipping all LTL with maybe an occasional truckload, or all truckload with an occasional LTL. And that really surprised me and led me to think that TMSs in this space need to be really specialized at one or the other. They can do both, but they've got to really have features narrowed in on being excellent at LTL and excellent at truckload. Covering both modes isn't as important up front. We found that spending time with these shippers, they're paying attention on a really shipment by shipment basis to the balance of price and service and transit. They're competing on the basis of Being able to negotiate that perfect balance on every shipment of getting it there as fast as it needs to get there, but keeping the price reasonable. So maybe less big picture looking at their freight spend and their network, and more just every single shipment trying to get it right. One example, I talked to a company that does rubber tracks for like skid loaders and that type of construction equipment. And so when one of their customers is ordering some rubber tracks from them, that's a guy doing construction who's broken down somewhere and can't do his job. And so that person wants that shipment there now, tomorrow at the latest, but they really don't want to spend the money on now or tomorrow at the latest. So you'd have the owner of the small business negotiating on the right balance of service and transit to get that company's business. And so we also see that the people are wearing a lot of hats. You know, at the bigger companies, you expect to have a VP of logistics and a director of transportation and so on. And at these types of companies, they might have somebody with that title, logistics manager or shipping manager, but it's much more common for it to be warehouse manager, operations manager, receptionist, accounting manager, customer service lead. Those are the types of people who are managing the freight, not dedicated transportation professionals who've been to the CSCMP conference, but people who, you know, started as a tiny little part of their day job, and then it's grown and grown to become more of their job, but they still have other stuff they're trying to get done. And the small business owner, who's their boss, the leader, probably doesn't have a good understanding of the role that freight plays in their business now that it's grown, and doesn't really have a grasp of what their company is doing to manage freight.
Yeah, those are great differences there. Particularly the last one you talked about. I think that a lot of times with these smaller companies, there isn't that well-defined role, if you will, of a VP of transportation that you might find at a bigger company. And transportation is something that certainly I know I've been talking about for the past couple of years, as how I'm beginning to finally see the large companies view transportation and logistics as a competitive weapon, not just as a cost center. And I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that that cost center mentality, it's a cost of doing business. We just have to, try to get the product from point A to point B as quickly and as cheaply as possible, is kind of still probably the frame of mind that a lot of small businesses have. Okay. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, definitely. When we talk to small business owners or leaders, they often don't really know what's going on with freight, and they certainly don't see it as a competitive advantage. For example, I visited a pretty good-sized printing operation. They print brochures and magazine inserts and so on and ship them out. And I was meeting with the CEO, and I asked her how they handled their freight. And she didn't know. And so we walked out on the floor and found somebody who could tell us. And it was a surprise to her. They were giving all their freight to one carrier. And that might be the right thing to do for them. But we asked them why they were giving their freight to one carrier instead of maybe having other carriers in the mix. And it really just came down to that carrier stopped by every day. So they just gave them the freight. And so I think that was eye-opening to her that freight plays a large role in the reputation of her company. It's those truck drivers showing up on the day they're supposed to that is a big part of her image, but she really didn't have any idea how they were moving their freight. And so it got her thinking about how here was an area of her company where she so tightly controls every other part and optimizes it to try to win customers and overcome the gap of being a smaller company. And this was one area that she should explore, and so she did.
Yeah, great example there. I mean, I think the other thing that we find with large companies, right? Find large companies, certainly it's an area that us analysts like to talk about is, optimization, right? And, when you hear things like omni-channel and, capacity crunch, so on and so forth, there's a big focus on, optimizing across modes, converting LTLs into TLs, continuous moves, so on and so forth. It sounds to me that with the volumes you're talking about, where they're predominantly one mode, either, virtually all LTL or virtual all TL, that those kind of optimization opportunities are few if far between, if not non-existent. Is that kind of fair as well?
Yeah, definitely. I rarely have a customer bring up optimization or consolidation and those types of features. And they just don't have the freight for it yet. Someday as they continue to grow, I hope many of them do have that kind of success, but they're not asking about that. And in fact, Other people who have tried to bring TMSs to them and lead with talking about those kind of features just create a disconnect where they just can't associate with them. They don't. They see that as impractical and not a good fit for them right then. And so it turns them off from the idea of pursuing a TMS. They think that what TMSs do are those types of features for big companies that don't apply to them right now.
Well, I mean, you just brought up something that kind of leads me to my next, question. And I think you just kind of probably mentioned one there in terms of kind of one of the inhibiting factors of why, relatively speaking, adoption of TMS technology in the SMB market is relatively low. Can you talk about maybe some of the reasons that is, why the adoption isn't as great as it should be? And what have, what have been kind of the top two or three that you hear the most from customers and prospects?
Yeah, you bet. This is one of my favorite topics, so I'll try not to go on for too long. When we started down this path, we spent a lot of time talking to shippers and still do to understand why that gap exists, where there's that clear advantage of using technology to manage transportation and they're not doing it. And, at a high level, it's because it's just too expensive and difficult to implement. So the cost, whether it's a monthly fee or license charges, is just overwhelming to their budget. The effort to go through a multi-month project to implement a TMS is just more than they can handle. And they may not have the skill sets, project managers and full-time IT people who can do those projects. So, looking at the cost side of it, we tried to dig into why do other TMSs cost so much? And there's a lot of factors that go into it, but a few of them that we found were the prevailing factors. One of them is just the effort to load and maintain rates. So typically take on the LTL side, a shipper chooses to use a TMS, they've got to go dig up copies of all their rates. So they're digging through their desk drawers or their email box and coming up with copies of their rate sheets from their carriers. And they got to fax or email those over to somebody at the TMS vendor who then goes through this effort to analyze them and slice and dice them and load them up and test them, all in an effort really to simulate the rates that the carrier has loaded. And so that effort, that labor can be thousands of dollars in a person's time to load rates. And then it's an unending cycle of every year when the rates change a little bit, those rates have to be reloaded. So that is one of the major drivers of costs in traditional TMS platforms. Related to that really closely is EDI setup. So setting up a new customer on a TMS usually involves setting up EDI for dispatching to schedule the pickup and EDI to handle tracking and so on. And there's just a lot of effort and therefore cost involved in setting up EDI. So there's all this money being spent on labor to get somebody over the hump of having their TMS up and going that then is being passed back to the customer and making it out of reach for smaller companies. And then I think change management plays a role. But I think what you see with most TMSs is the classic enterprise software sales problem where you sell the TMS to someone up here on the org chart and it's going to be used by someone down here in the org chart and there's a disconnect between them. From the executive side, this TMS may have met all the features, checked all the boxes, and at the user side, it's too complex. It's too difficult to use and understand. And so you end up with these big change management efforts of putting people through training and giving them user guides and trying to help them figure out workarounds and how to use software that's really actually hard to use. So you have these small businesses that they're mostly consumers and they're used to using apps on their phone. They're used to buying books off Amazon. And they see this software that just looks enormously complex and is going to involve all this hard work to implement. And they realize that that's more effort than they can take. So those are some of the main drivers. There are others, but I think those are probably the key ones that drive the cost up and therefore push it out of the range of smaller shippers.
Yeah, no, I think, when you look at, I remember when, software as a service and cloud applications kind of first came to market, a lot of folks thought, okay, that's going to be the solution platform that's finally going to enable more small and mid-sized businesses to, come on board with the TMS. And, I think to many people's surprise, it was actually the large companies that became the early adopters of cloud and software as a service solutions. And for a variety of different reasons, and I've written about those, cost of sales and just the revenue model. And but part of it is some of the things you've talked about as well, is that although overall cloud and software as a service has improved the go-to-market opportunities and the deployment times and so on and so forth and the cost, it still hasn't lowered the bar low enough, from a usability standpoint, from an onboarding time standpoint, connectivity standpoint, so on and so forth, historically over the past few years to truly get to that, segment of the market. Which brings me to my next question. I mean, how have, TMS solutions evolved over time? What kind of innovations have taken place to kind of keep, improving the ability for TMS to finally be accessible and attractive to companies in this market segment?
Sure. Well, it's an exciting time for TMSs because of some of the advancements just over the last 5 years or so. And one of the biggest ones that you and I have talked about before is the prevalence of APIs, where before you had to load rates and then simulate them, you had to set up EDI. More and more carriers are exposing functionality from their core systems via APIs or web services that other systems can consume. So while in the past a TMS would have had to implement a rating engine and try to get it to work close to how each carrier's rating engine works, now the LTL carriers and increasingly truckload carriers expose their own rating engines. So a TMS like ours can connect directly to the carrier and pull that authoritative copy of the rates. And same with scheduling pickups and generating bills of lading and grabbing pro numbers and getting tracking. That can all be handled through that machine-to-machine communication, more in real time. So less, EDI is kind of like mailing a postcard to somebody and hoping they got it. And APIs are more like having a real live phone call with someone. So two computers can have that real live phone call and negotiate. That really changes the economics, both of what's involved in building a TMS, where we spend less time on some of those back-end things like EDI dispatching and rating, and more time on the user experience. And it also allows for much quicker setups. So in the past, that rating process, getting rates set up, could have taken weeks or months or even in some cases years to go through that process. And now rates could be set up in a matter of at least hours and sometimes minutes. And dispatching and tracking can be ready to go in an instant instead of weeks of EDI testing and preparation. So it's really allowed for it to be possible to have something that's a TMS that a company can decide they want to use and really be using it the same day or within a few days. I think another part of it is really carefully targeted feature sets. And just a silly analogy, I mow my yard with a John Deere riding lawnmower, John Deere lawn tractor. And my in-laws are farmers in Iowa, and they have a John Deere combine. And the thing is awesome. I spent about $3,000, I would guess, on my lawnmower, and they spent about 300 grand on their combine. And they have a lot of similarities. They're painted in the same green and yellow. They have the same number of wheels and a motor and a seat and a steering wheel and so on. And they both kind of solve the same basic problem of harvesting stuff. But clearly they're radically different. They let me drive it once. Just once, and I discovered that I commented that it was just like driving my riding lawnmower. It felt the same. Clearly, even if John Deere could get the price of a riding lawnmower down to $3,000, I still wouldn't buy one to mow my yard. They need that. They need the functionality, the meters, and the extra functionality and features that for me wouldn't be just things I didn't use, but they would actually get in my way and make it impossible for me to mow my yard. And I think some of the big TMSs are that way, that while they do have some really awesome features, pool consolidation and optimization and dock appointment scheduling, it's not just a matter of getting the price point down to where smaller shippers can afford it, but it's a matter of those things actually get in the way and make it impossible for small businesses to use. So I think another key thing is just a really carefully curated feature set, not trying to check every box that a TMS needs to have, but doing the things that actually make it different to the small business. And I think a third thing would be just user experience. Just it's really close to my heart is having a system that just gets out of the way, that when a user sits down, an end user, not the business owner, but the person that actually has to ship the freight, they can sit down and it just feels good and it's intuitive in how it works, and they can actually say they enjoy using it and not that it's something that the boss imposed on them and made their life more miserable. And then I think just wrapping it all in, like you were talking about, a modern cloud approach to software. 15 years ago, if a small business wanted to get email, they had to buy an Exchange server and hardware to put it on and buy some Outlook licenses, and it could cost them thousands of dollars. The way they buy software has changed. They would just buy Google Apps now or Office 365, and they would expect their TMS to fit that software sales model. They don't want to go back to a model where the pricing is secretive and you have to negotiate it with a sales rep who's trying to squeeze every last dollar out of you. They want clear, transparent pricing and quick setup and a subscription model with no IT effort on their side. And I think some of the more modern TMSs have achieved that.
Yeah, a lot of food for thought in that response there. You know, certainly, you know, the user experience, I wholeheartedly agree. And certainly that's something that I've been talking and writing about over the past few years in terms of the user experience, user interface becoming a competitive differentiator for software vendors, and particularly in the TMS space. I think it does kind of make you think about redefining, you know, what is a TMS solution, right? Because I think, like I mentioned earlier, for us analysts, including myself, you know, when I talk about TMS, I do talk about the breadth and depth of the, you know, the main big solutions out there, right? And the diversity of options and features and functions. And I think you raise a good point there, whether, you know, those features and functions could actually get in the way of, you know, the adoption of TMS for these smaller and mid-sized businesses that, you know, even though they might be nice to have, it's not only just nice to have, they can actually, I hadn't thought about that, actually be a barrier to implementation, right? Even if they don't plan to use it, it kind of might create that negative, first impression there. Going back to the API piece, it seems that that's been kind of a critical turning point, if you will, or enabler of, what you just described there. I mean, what's the adoption, if you will, of APIs in the LTL industry, in the trucking industry? I mean, are most of the major carriers exposing their rating engines and track and trace and so forth via APIs today, or, you know, is there still a significant portion of the market that isn't doing that?
Well, for rating, it's become really prevalent. All the major LTL carriers and the next tier of carriers down, probably 50 or so in the market, have rating APIs right now. And so that's become very, very common. And they've been tested now and used by a lot of people, and it's more about iterating on them to make sure that they handle all the functionality they need to, special features and accessorials, and handling pallet pricing and not just tariff pricing and so on. So rating APIs, I think carriers are in really good shape. It starts to drop off a little bit when you get to the downstream functions. So fewer carriers have APIs to schedule pickups. Even some of the big name carriers that you would expect still are working on that. And then on into tracking, it can drop off a little more. So there's rapid development on that out in the industry right now, but there's still definitely more to come there. We haven't achieved full interaction with all carriers yet.
Now, is this something that carriers see the value and benefit of? I mean, are they investing time and resources and money to really continue to enhance and improve the capabilities and availability of these APIs?
Yeah, certainly. We're constantly talking to carriers about new APIs they're doing or new versions of their APIs, or people who are asking for advice on how to implement their APIs. It's really down to the level of even small. I was talking to a small, very small regional carrier based in kind of Texas and Oklahoma. Their CEO came in to talk with me, and he was saying that they're kind of a small business themselves, so they're struggling a little bit with, they realize they have to have an API. It's almost as critical to them now as having trucks and dispatchers and forklifts, but they don't have IT folks who have been trained in APIs and know how to build it. And so he's facing having to outsource that work to someone else. And so we try to give carriers advice, and there are other people in the industry who are trying to consult and encourage carriers to build APIs. They all realize they need it. They're all working on it. And they're just facing some of the same challenges as other small businesses in funding IT projects.
Right, absolutely. I just want to remind those of you that are watching live that we're coming up short on time here. I have a couple of more questions for Jason here, but if you do have a question or a comment for Jason, you can do so now via the again the submit a question button or via the chat feature. Jason, one of the other I think hurdles that's not technology related that I've come across and is that and we kind of touched upon this earlier, is that maybe a lot of folks are in the small and mid-sized businesses are saying, we still get our products out every day. We're executing. So, with spreadsheets, with fax machines, with phone calls, I don't see us having a problem, right? We don't have a problem. We don't need a TMS because we get stuff out the door. I mean, do you see that as part of the hurdle, the challenge is, getting them to see that even though they may not perceive that they have a problem or that they're leaving money on the table, so on and so forth, that their operations could be so much better, their cost savings could be so much better if they actually did have some kind of a technology platform in place?
Yeah, you bet. I think one of the biggest issues that the new TMSs like us face is that customers not realizing they have this problem. So it's really common to run into folks who are, like I said, going to the carrier websites and running quotes on every shipment and don't even realize that it can be better. That's usually an easy one to overcome in that case because you can help them understand how much time they're spending on every shipment running quotes, often twice, both when it's being sold to a customer and they need to get a freight quote, and then later on when the freight's ready to ship. So you can show them that if they're spending 25, 30 minutes quoting a shipment, then and that can be cut down to just a few minutes, then as that adds up across their shipments, it makes a big difference. So that's a pretty easy one to overcome. The other big one is that they have a routing guide. And so they just know, oh, I've been doing this for a long time, and if I'm shipping to this city, I just know to use this carrier. And what they don't realize is that carrier networks, especially on the LTL side, change all the time. They're constantly changing how they route shipments and where they want freight and where they have too much freight. And so often they're lagging in their understanding of how their carrier networks mesh. And so we'll help them see how by quoting every shipment every time instead of just relying on a routing guide really allows them to take advantage of each carrier's strengths as they've revealed in their pricing. And so we'll usually have shippers who express surprise, didn't even realize that a certain carrier served an area or that they were could get it there one day faster, that the price was more competitive. But you've got to first work them through that willingness to entertain that's a possibility and not just that the way they've been doing it for 15 years is still the right way.
Right. Yeah, it goes back to that change management that you talked about before. I think that's always a challenge, whether you're talking TMS or any kind of technology solution or any kind of process change, is trying to, get folks that to think beyond the status quo, particularly if the status quo seems to be working, right? Getting them to kind of think differently and act differently, I think, is always a big hurdle. I think related to this, and I think you already touched upon one aspect here, kind of the time savings, in terms of going to multiple websites to do ratings and things of that nature. I mean, is the business case or the value proposition for, small and mid-sized businesses for TMS, different than for large companies? And maybe can you share a customer example or two of how that value proposition kind of looks like in the real world?
Sure. Well, it's first of all, the time frame is much different than a big company. So we've all been involved in TMS projects where the payoff was going to be over a couple of years, and they could have that kind of planning horizon that lasts a long time. And these small shippers, their businesses are moving so fast that they need solutions that deliver results quickly, within a month or 2 months. And so I think even as they're figuring out in their minds whether the payback is there, they're thinking on a much smaller time scale than a big business. Definitely, that idea of saving a bunch of time is a key one for them. We've had customers tell us that, they cut their quoting time from 25 or 30 minutes per shipment down to just a few minutes per shipment, and that's freed them up because they wear a lot of different hats. That's freed them up to do other things, do the other parts of their job. Probably more important than that is a lot of the small businesses that we talk to are growing, and that's exciting. It's fun to work with companies that are growing and not shrinking. And they're facing this problem where maybe transportation hasn't been a full-time job, and the workload is growing to the point where they're considering, do we have to make it a full-time job? Or maybe do we have to add a second person to manage freight? We work with a rubber distributor in the Chicago area, and they have two people on their team, and they're growing really fast. And so they were debating, do we have to hire more people to handle our freight? And by adopting a TMS, they were able to not only keep it to those two people, but actually free up those two people's time to work on other things, more strategic things. I think another part of the payback or the value proposition is just making better decisions, making those trade-offs of which carrier to use, balancing service and price on a shipment by shipment basis, you know, can make the difference in keeping a customer for the long term. I think a great example of that is I talked to an animal nutrition company based in Missouri, and they have one warehouse in the corner of Missouri, and they're competing against firms that are brand names that we would recognize, much bigger firms in the animal nutrition business who have warehouses all around the country. So if they're competing for the business, say in Los Angeles, they're shipping from Missouri, and one of their big competitors might have a warehouse in Los Angeles. And so to them, keeping those freight costs low and making sure that the service time doesn't get out of whack is what allows them to keep those customers. Where if they were, you know, their freight charges were quite a bit more, or it took several more days in transit, then they risk losing those customers to those bigger competitors. So having a TMS and understanding how their carrier networks mesh together allows them to stay competitive against, you know, behemoths compared to them. Another example of the value proposition is just enabling the work to be spread around a company so it's not all on one person's shoulders. So typically in these small businesses, one person has held the keys to all the carrier websites, and they're doing all the quoting and handling that all themselves. And using a TMS usually allows you to set up roles of different people to have different permissions. And that's allowed them to let their sales reps run their own freight quotes, allow customer service to quote on their own orders, allow other people in the company to back up for them. I had one person tell me that by adopting a TMS, they were able to take the first vacation that they'd taken with their family in 7 years, went to Disneyland, and they said it was directly because they'd implemented a TMS that simplified the freight process enough that they could hand it off to someone else for the week that they were gone and know that freight would still get shipped.
That's a great story. I think it ties into the point you brought up earlier in terms of usability and kind of the ease of use and ease of learning how to, you know, leverage this technology, right? Where, you know, if it takes someone, you know, weeks or months to learn how to use a technology platform, you know, that becomes an inhibiting factor as well. You know, great thoughts there, and food for thought there, and great customer examples. You know, I think I particularly like the one about, you know, the fact that a lot of these small businesses are growing, and they're growing quickly, right? And they ultimately reach that point, you know, that fork in the road. I think that's the aha moment for a lot of them that says, hey, maybe even though things have been working and we're getting stuff out the door every day, we're getting to the point where we're reaching the breaking point here, right? And we have to decide, you know, whether this is the right path, or we know this is not the right path, meaning, you know, the way we've always been doing things, and we need to look for kind of a smarter, better way to do it. And that has implication, obviously, from the technology side and in terms of investing in a TMS. And on the people side, as you mentioned, you know, do we need to hire a full-time person now or someone with a dedicated role? And certainly if you're growing, you don't want to just add people and throw people at the problem, if you will. You want to, you know, balance it between the resources you put to it and the technology. You know, Jason, we're kind of coming up short on time here, so I'm just going to go right to my last question, kind of as a way to wrap up. I mean, what advice would you give to small and mid-sized, you know, shippers that are still kind of using spreadsheets and visiting multiple carrier websites and, you know, other manual processes to manage their transportation operations?
Sure. Well, it's 2015, and I would guess that a lot of these small business owners and leaders look across other parts of the organization that they pay more attention to, and of course they use software in those places. So I doubt there's many of these businesses who are running their accounting without some kind of accounting software, or having their sales reps work out in the field without some type of CRM, even if it's really lightweight. And so usually freight's off the radar, but they really need to think about freight in the same way. You wouldn't run accounting without accounting software. You shouldn't run your freight shipping without freight shipping software. So my advice would be to poke into this area, maybe an area that they haven't asked about in a while and haven't heard much about, But go talk to your shipping people and find out how they're shipping and how much time they're spending doing it. And just imagine, especially if they're wearing a lot of hats, what it would mean to free up a lot of that time for them to work on other things that are more important to the business, so things that haven't been getting done. And then, you know, what if you could be making better decisions on a shipment by shipment basis on your shipments and really getting visibility to help you negotiate carrier rates and make better decisions in the future? We really talk about just changing the relationship with freight. And I would just say that if you're a small business owner, leader, this is a good time to change your relationship with freight, both in terms of your shipping department and your service providers, and really treat that not as a cost center that you've ignored, but as a really key way to deliver better service and deliver some more money to your bottom line.
Yeah, great advice. And I mean, going back to the example you gave earlier in terms of CEO, going down to the shipping dock or the other warehouse, actually see it with her own eyes, you know, how the shipment gets done.
Well, and really Adrian's having some technical difficulties, or if it's me.
Can you see and hear me, Jason?
I don't know if you can hear me, but I think that was Adrian's last question. And so if you're listening to me and not him, just want to say thanks for letting me be online and talk through this today. Look forward to talking some more later.
Great. I don't know if it's either Jason or myself that is having the technical difficulties, but thank you, Jason, for being part of the program again. And if you are watching this episode on demand on talkinglogistics.com and you've got a question for Jason there, feel free to post a question or comment there. And I'm sure Jason will be more than happy to respond via that medium. With that, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.